Blog Talk Radio.
Within me, bless his holy name. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet Audie Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16. Where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. And that's why we are here, to pray for each other, to pray for one another, to pray for family, for friends, and even for our enemies. Praise be to God. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. At this time, I just want to say a short prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come play. Be overcome.
Amen. To God be the glory. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Abba, Father. You are a father to the fatherless and the defender of those in need. Holy is your name, for you stand above all. We lift up your name in praise and admiration, acknowledging you as our Father, a Father who is always there when we need you. Sometimes our earthly fathers abandon us or don't know how to be there when we need them. But when that happens, you rise up as our true Father. You fill the gap and bring comfort and guidance to each of us who seeks your face as Father. You have so many children. Abba, we don't know how you could keep track of us all at one time, but you do. You are the greatest Father of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Thank you. midst of all of my trials,
my Lord, prosper.
All of my tribulations,
my Lord, prosper.
I learned to trust in Jesus,
my Lord, prosper.
Oh, yes, I have,
my Lord, prosper.
Oh, fuck down,
prosper.
Fuck that out,
prosper.
Fuck down. I trust in Jesus, he's my friend. I will trust in the Lord. Put your trust, put all your trust, put it in Jesus.
Thank you. rise up. What's the scheme? Stop scheming. Just a matter of time before you run out of luck. They always say they got your back. Hard time will make you face the truth back. A waste of life, you can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the darkness, the voice answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anointed you fall. The light of His word pick you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
Let us pray. Abba Father, how many times have we neglected to receive the comfort and care you have for us as our Father? Because we forget that you are there. Or because we simply don't know you by this name. You are God. You are the Creator. You are holy. And sometimes that makes me make us feel as if you are also distant. Yet the name Abba tells us that you are not distant at all. In fact, you are as close to us as a father is to his child. When we are afraid, we will trust in you because you hold our cares in your hands. You hold our heart in your own. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., this evening, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson today in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us and give us your thoughts or your comments on what the writer is conveying, please do so. And you can call 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Amen. And join in our conversation. Praise God. So at this time, I'd like to play another selection. And after the selection, I will come back with our Daily Bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's be like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
on the problem.
The problem may be.
He's in control.
He's in control and he knows
yes, he
everything.
I have the victory cause.
I have the victory for he is my king.
In him I live, I move.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may be.
He's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory for he is my king.
Him I live, I move.
In him I live, I move and have my king.
Say like the best of people.
Best of peace.
Come on, lift them up in here.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory for
he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
be. Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live.
Can you believe that? Sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift him up.
Lift him up, rejoice.
And shout unto him.
And shout unto him.
The Lord you call him.
We have caused us to triumph.
And we know we will rule in the end. Say it again. Lift the people.
Lift him up,
rejoice. Come on, someone shout. Put the voice of triumph tonight.
We have caused us to triumph. And we know we will rule in the end.
He dwells in the midst of his people. So God, as we lift your name, we lift you high on the earth. Let's do it together, all of us sinners, all over the world.
Lift him up.
Come on, sing it.
Lift him up.
Lift him up.
Lift him up.
Higher and higher.
Higher and higher.
Come on,
higher.
Where are you?
Lift him up.
That don't mind singing it.
Lift him up.
Come on, sing it. Lift him up.
Now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, amen, which is entitled, God's Love is Stronger, amen. Praise God. And our scripture reading is coming from Song of Songs, chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 6 through 7. Praise God. And it says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. If a man tried to buy love with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So those verses is saying that in this final description of their love, the girl includes some of its significant characteristics. Love is as strong as death. It cannot be killed by time or disaster and cannot be brought for any price, because it is freely given. Amen. Love is priceless, and even the richest king cannot buy it. Love must be accepted as a gift from God and then shared within the guidelines God provides. Accept the love of your spouse as God's gift. The strife to make your love a reflection of the perfect love that comes from God himself. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6. And it says, love is as strong as death. Amen. Praise God. The writer says, in 2020, Anissa Mendez, received a surprising email from her father in the middle of the night. The message had instructions about what to do for her mother on her parents' 25th anniversary. Why was this shocking? Anissa's father had passed away 10 months earlier. She discovered that he had written and scheduled the email while he was sick. Knowing he might not be there, he had also arranged and paid for flowers to be sent to his wife for upcoming years on her birthday, future anniversaries, and Valentine's Day. Now, this story stand as an example of the kind of love that's described in detail in Song of Songs. Love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave, in 8 and 6. Comparing graves and death to love seems odd, but they are strong because they don't give up their captives. However, neither will true love give up the loved one. The book reaches its peak in verses 6 through 7, describing material love as one at so strong that many waters cannot quench it in verse 7. Throughout the Bible, the love of a husband and wife is compared to God's love in Isaiah 54 and 5, Ephesians 5 and 26, Revelation 21 and 2. Jesus is the groom and the church is his bride. God showed his love for us by sending Christ to face death so we would not have to die for our sins, John 3 and 16. Whether we are married or single, we can remember that God's love is stronger than anything we could imagine. Amen. Praise be to God. Question: how do you feel knowing how much God loves you? And what reminds you of his love for you? Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much, reminding us of your love each day and give us glimpses of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Wednesday, Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection by Helen Baylor. Lord, you are holy. Praise God.
Holy,
you're holy,
and we're wonderful things you've given me. Your loving kindness, your tender mercies. I desire to praise you and tell you how much I love you. You're worthy of all of the honor, Lord. You're worthy of all of the praise. I don't know how you could love me, how you could give me so much mercy. You didn't have to suffer and die for me way back on Calvary. But I just want to thank you. I gotta thank you. Yes, I do. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Beginning of time, and he
Abba, Father, thank you for not leaving us as orphans. Whether our earthly father is near and dear or is someone we do not know, he cannot be everything. We need a father because no human being is perfect. Only you are perfect. and only you provide us with all of the loving, gentle care a daddy can give. Thank you for your patience, kindness, and goodness. Thank you for being merely a breath away when we whisper your name, Abba, Father, you hear. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise God.
even in the present. I'm taking all fit
flight.
Concludes our sweet hour of prayer, and now we're going to get ready to go into our lesson for this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie, and our very own Barbara Amore is going to conduct our lesson this evening, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen. Are we the only one?
Yes.
Okay. I enjoyed hearing that song.
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, to end the prayer hour, I played that one. Yeah.
Nice. Nice choice.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to get started. I'll open with prayer.
Okay.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to say thank you. Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. Lord God, we thank you for the weather. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain, the birds, the neighbors, and the universe, Father God. We thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, bless everyone that's on this line this evening, everyone that will come on the line this evening. I pray that you will guide me as I facilitate this lesson in your precious name. Lord, we love you. Can't live without you. Thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Just bless us and keep us. Keep loving on us, Lord, as we keep loving on you. All these and any other blessings, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, all other things we ask in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, because you are the best. Amen.
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 Hi,
Frank. Oh, good. Welcome. Hi. Hello, everybody.
Your phone is better today.
Good. I'm glad.
Okay, so we're going to get started with Chapter 24, The Activities of Satan. We're on page 167. The last paragraph on that page talking about the in relation to Christ. And that talks about Satan's relationship to Christ, talking about how Satan attempted to tempt Christ, to cause him to turn stones into bread and to go to the highest pinnacle and on the world, to jump off of it and have the angels catch him, all those kinds of things. So moving right along, it says, Satan has temporarily been given authority over this world, cosmos, but ultimately Christ will rule it. Thus, Satan had the right to offer the Lord the kingdoms of this world. But had Christ taken them, he would have shortcut the plan of God and bypassed the atoning work of his death. Satan still tempts us with the immediate and visible. Since Satan was unsuccessful in preventing the cross, he attacks the gospel, the followers of Christ, and what yet remains of the plan of God for this world. Any questions about this?
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting, you know, the line that says Satan still tempts us with the immediate and the visible. And the reason why that resonates with me is because, you know, we're in a society right now where, you know, waiting is, you know, sort of like, you know,
instant gratification.
You know, it's instant gratification, exactly. And to realize that those are the temptations of Satan, because that instant gratification, gotta have it now, you know, puts us in debt. You know, we're suffering in debt because of that gotta have it now, or, you know, and it really just hinders us, you know, a lot now. I mean, years ago, you didn't have things right away. You put things on layaway and you waited till you got it.
Right.
You know, you could afford
yes,
to get
I remember those days.
Right. But now it's the got to get it quick generation, you know, with all of us now. And it's true. It's immediate and it got to be visible. I got to see it in order for me to believe it or to feel like I got to hold it in my hand to feel like I'm gratified, you know, to get that gratification. So I thought that was really interesting, you know, and exactly how he related it to Christ. You know, Christ had to wait. There was a plan in place. So,
exactly.
You know, Christ was not, right. You know, God was not going to, you know, allow Satan to mess up the plan because of that same idea of taking it now, got to have it now,
right.
Type of thing. So I have to work with myself too with that, you know, because, you know, you know, things that we want sometimes, you know, things that we want or things that we aspire to have, it's hard. You realize that it takes time. It's not something that's going to happen right away. And it takes time. It takes practice. It takes effort, you know. And,
a
lot of times, and it takes patience, right. And a lot of these kids don't have it. You know, it takes that many years to go to college to do that. You know, some of them are like, oh, no, that's going to take too long. Too long than what? I mean, you have to put the time in, you know, to get, to see the results. But that's all I want to say about that.
Amen. Excellent.
Well said.
Anything you want to add?
No, there's nothing to add.
And so the shortcut would have been what? Had Jesus listened to Satan and took possession of the kingdoms of the world, what would the shortcut have been?
Well, for one, he would not have, he wouldn't have gone through the process of dying for our sins. You know, he wouldn't have got to the cross. None of that would have happened, and we would never have the eternal promise that we have to live eternally with Christ.
Amen. He would not have atoned. We would not be at one with God. So there was a reason for the temptation not to be followed through with. Amen? Jesus was strong, and he was following the will of his Father. That's not what his Father told him to do.
Exactly.
obedience.
Yes.
Beat sacrifices, I tell you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, part two, in relation to God, the principal tactics Satan uses to attack God and his program in general is to offer a counterfeit kingdom and program. This was evident, when he originally sinned by wanting to be like, not unlike, God. The counterfeit was first attempted on mankind when Satan offered Eve the chance to be like God, knowing good and evil. And I think we looked at Genesis 3 and 5 already.
Mm-hmm.
The temptation was also an attempt at counterfeit. A counterfeit is as like the genuine as possible, only without some vital feature. Satan's offer to our Lord was to have the glory due him without the essential feature of his death. Today, a form of godliness while denying its power. 2 Timothy 3 and 5. Evangelist, would you get that, please? When I ask you, I want you to. 2 Timothy 3 and 5. To this, Satan disguises his servants as servants of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11 and 15. Nadine, he promotes a doctrinal system through the demons, who in turn use people who advocate a false asceticism or unbridled license. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, and Revelation 2 and 24. Evangelists get 1 Timothy 4 and 1 through 3, and Nadine, Revelation 2, 24. What I ask you for? The ultimate counterfeit, the coming Antichrist, ultimate counterfeit, will be the coming Antichrist, whose activities will be in accord with Satan, and who will pawn off mankind the lie, as you see in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11. All right, Evangelist, if you would read the first one, which is 2 Timothy 3 and 5.
Okay, 3 and 5 says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that.
So having a form of godliness
but denying its power. So they will act like they're religious and act like they're godly, but they don't have the very power of what they profess to have. Amen. Some of them may not even really believe. They just go through the motions. All right.
And I think this, you know, when I read that, you know, because we know that in what is the power? You know, what is the power that Timothy is referring to? I mean, we can read a commentary for it, but I think, and I'm basing this on scripture, that when Christ told the disciples to wait until they receive the power, and the power is the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
And so there are, you know, and this made me also think about, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses who do not believe in the Trinity and they do not believe in the Holy Spirit. And so maintaining a form of godliness while denying the power, and the power comes from the Holy Spirit.
Right. The indwelling Holy Spirit.
And it gives us power.
Thank you. So read 2 Corinthians 11 and 15, please.
Yes. Therefore, it is not a great thing if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So
what does that mean to you?
So that, yeah, you know, this is a counterfeit, you know. They're disguising themselves as servants of God, but in actuality, they really aren't. They are not.
Right. So he disguises himself one way, and his servants follow suit. They're all counterfeit. Nothing is for real. All right, and then so there's this part about he promotes a doctrinal system through the demons who in turn use people who advocate a false asceticism or unbridled license. What does asceticism mean, Evangelist?
I don't know.
They mean asceticism.
I have to look it up. I really don't know
either. Okay, it's abstinence from sensual pleasure, often for the purpose of spiritual goals. So a lot of times we have monks or other people who are celibate.
Yeah.
Right? But it's a false asceticism. They don't really mean it. And they may not be going through with it. Holy, it's just, you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have sex, sometimes they, you know, it's false.
Yeah.
What did you find?
Oh, God, I didn't look it up, but she told me.
Okay.
Since you gave the definition, I'm good with that.
All right. So it's an abstinence from sensual pleasure, often for the purpose of spiritual goals. So a lot of times the consecration fast, that kind of thing, you abstain from sexual pleasure for spiritual goals to be heightened in your sensory perception of God because of abstaining from sex. Okay, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, Evangelist Hilda, and then Revelation 2 and 24, Lady Nadine.
So these 1 and 4 says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teaching that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars. And their consciences are dead. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods. But God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. 1-3, right? Yeah.
Right. All right. Any thoughts about that?
Well, it seems to be already, you know, now the Holy Spirit teaches us clearly that last time. Yeah, a lot of people is going to turn away and listen to these other false teachers and things. That's why Paul tells us to, if it, for me, if it's not what comes out of God's word, then I don't believe it. So that's how I look at it. If it ain't in the book,
I don't know whether it comes out of God's word or not.
If it ain't, if, but that's why he says to study to show thyself approved. So you have to know what is in God's word and what they are telling you to get you to follow them.
Okay. So or to believe.
In the end times, a lot of people are going to be deceived.
That's what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have to study to show ourselves approved. And again, sometimes people will preach a word that's not true. And if you don't know for yourself, you're going to believe what they say. They can make it very convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's why I was asking you, how do you know if what they're saying is true or not? You don't know every word in the Bible. I don't know. Nobody knows everything in the Bible. All right? So
yeah, but
that was
you
my question.
Like, go and look it up or read it.
Yeah,
read the Bible
it.
For yourself. Because when they're preaching the words, they give you scriptures. So if you don't go and you know, read the scriptures and then you read the scriptures that coincides with that scripture to make sure that, you know, what they are telling you is true.
Sometimes they don't give you scripture. Like
Joel.
Joel, no, what's the preacher that preaches on TV? Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen?
Yeah, Joel
Osteen.
Give
scripture. He never
gives
scripture.
Yes, he does.
I've never heard him give scripture.
He doesn't read it, but he quotes it.
Right.
And sometimes quotes it inaccurately.
He quotes it, but he doesn't say where he's quoting it from. He says the Lord says.
He has the
and
gist
it has been
of
written.
When you finish.
Right. No, I'm just saying that he'll say, and the Lord said, and he'll tell you things, but he doesn't tell you exactly where to find it in the Bible.
Right. And sometimes he'll quote something and he won't use the exact scripture or the exact words in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he, like you say, I don't ever see that he tells you where he's coming from. You know?
No.
But his messages are very powerful, even though he doesn't always tell you where he's coming from. His messages are always very powerful, you know, to get you to thinking, and it's encouraging, it's inspiring, it's enlightening.
Yeah.
But like you say, he doesn't put up where he's coming from.
Right. Last night he was preaching on Jonah, you know, different parts of the scriptures of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he was talking you know, and a bit about Jonah and his disobedience and how God on the boat, the people on the boat tossed him overboard, and God had the fish to come there to swallow him up. So that you know how anybody, you know the story of Job.
Yeah, we know the story.
So that's what he was preaching on last night, but I fell asleep on him anyway.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So Revelation 2:24
says, but I say to you, to the rest who are in Thyatira, all those who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they say, I do not put upon you any other burden. I'm not really sure what that means.
Oh, I was going to say, what does that mean?
Yeah, no. Sometimes I just can't just read one scripture. I got to know what's happening before and after. But, yeah, because I really don't know what that means.
The rest of you Thyatirans who have nothing to do with this outrage, who scorn this playing around with the devil that gets paraded as profundity, be assured I will not make life any harder for you than it already is. Hold on to the truth you have until I get it there. All right, so this seems to be God speaking, and he's saying that whatever the devil says, you know, he's playing around with you. The things he say, they may sound profound and, you know, astounding and true, but you
right.
know what you've been taught. You know what you've been taught. You know the truth. Like I've said before, people know right from wrong even as babies. Not in everything, but in certain things, babies know right from wrong, and they will test you. They will do the wrong thing, and they'll look at you and see, you know, did she notice? Or, you know, am I going to get my hand spanked? You know, they know. So
mm-hmm.
he's saying also, be assured I'll not make life any harder for you than it already is. Hold on to the truth you have until I get there. So hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You found something else?
It's definitely what you said. But just that Thyatira is a church. Because I didn't know. He's talking to the church of Thyatira.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So that's what this is. It was a message to and to the angel of the church of Thyatira.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you're right. It's Jesus talking, but that Thyatira is a church.
Good.
Right. He's telling them to hold on. Hold
mm-hmm.
on. Hold on. God's unchanging.
No matter what the devil says, hold on. You know what I've told you. You've read my word. Hold on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11, talking about the lie.
Yes.
Would you get
who has that?
Oh,
okay.
Did I ask you? Who did I ask?
Mm-hmm. Not me.
Okay, so Evangelist.
I have it.
Okay.
Whose coming is in accordance with the working of Satan, all power and signs and lying wonders, and with every unrighteous deception against those who are perishing in place of which they did not accept the love of the truth so that they would be saved. And because of this, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie.
Ooh. What do you think about that?
I mean, they refuse to accept the love of the truth. So God allows them, he allows them to believe the lie.
He
puts that, but this is not the first, God did this before in Kings where, oh God, what was the story? It was a story in about one of the prophets who
Oh,
name?
Was that
who's the king?
That was King Ahab, and Ahab wanted to
right.
have I think it was Obadiah tell him to prophesy. And Obadiah was
right.
gonna tell him, but Ahab say, I know that whatever I want you to tell me, you're going to tell me just the opposite. So, you know, what you got to say? all the other prophets had told him a lie. And so he's still not satisfied. Let me see. And I believe it was Obadiah that he asked, and Obadiah came and told him. And that's the one we laughed about, because once Obadiah told him the truth, he had him sent to jail and put him on bread and water. But as he was going, he was struggling and, you know, wrestling kind of as they took him, walked him out. And he said, watch what I see. And he was telling the people, watch what I see. You may be locking me up, but watch.
Yes, just watch and see.
Watch my
the story
word is
true. Absolutely true. Right. And then it said, there was one of the scriptures said, God made the prophets. I think it was like 40.
Yeah.
It was like 400 prophets, and he made all 400 prophets believe the lie. Right.
Exactly. The lie
spirit. Yeah.
And who would not believe 400 to 1 unless the other 400 know are false? So, yeah,
good point.
That was funny. I like that.
Yeah.
But, and we have things like that going on today. Okay? Mm-hmm. Not so much from God, but, you know, the big lie that 45 told. Got people going into the Capitol and, you know, wanting to kill and lynch people and all of that because of his lie.
Exactly. And then the one person, I mean, there was more, but when Cheney spoke up,
Liz Cheney,
about it being a lie, and they, you know, chastised her and
they took her position away from her. Yeah,
right.
She took some position away from her. Of some committee or whatever, and they cast her out of that position. They don't like the truth. They want to follow their leader. He's not a leader anymore, not of the free world. I mean.
Okay.
Still got about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
In part three, thank you for that, in relation to nations, talking about Satan and his relationship to nations now, his principal activity in this arena is to deceive the nations, Revelation 20 and 3. Evangelist, when I ask you, would you read that? Deceive them how? Apparently into thinking they can govern righteously and bring peace in the world apart from the presence and rule of Christ. Again, his tactic is counterfeit. He apparently employs demons in carrying out his deception, Daniel 10, 13, and 20. Nadine, get that, please. And he uses government to hinder the progress of the gospel, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18. All right. Evangelist, would you read the first one, Revelation 20 and 3?
Mm-hmm.
He deceived the very nation.
The angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked, so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were finished. Afterwards, he must be released for a little while.
Amen. Thank you. Nadine, Daniel 10, 13, and 20.
Yep.
Please.
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia stood before me for 21 days and looked, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to assist me, and I left him there beside the king of the Persians. And 20, then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I return to fight against the prince of Persia, and I myself am going. And look, the prince of Javan will come.
Okay. Evangelist, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18. If you want to expound on anything, please feel free. It's fine.
First Thessalonians
2 and 18.
Yeah. So I guess Daniel's just showing you how, because it says he employs demons to carry out his deception. So he employed, you know, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. You know, so you have people in high powers, just like we were talking about. You know, people in high powers doing Satan's work. Doing Satan's work.
Talking about 45 again, people in high places.
Yep.
Carrying out the devil's plan.
18 says, we want very much to come to you. And I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I just want to say that
Timothy was talking up to the church. Timothy's good report about the church. That's what this the scriptures is talking about. 17:1-2.
Okay. I just want to say that the prophet that spoke truth to King Ahab, his name was Micaiah.
Okay.
Not Obadiah.
M-I-C-I-A-H.
Yeah, Micaiah. And, Joseph, if you want to read the story, because it's so good, it's in, you want to write it down?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's First Kings chapter 22.
First Kings 22.
Verses 15 through 28.
Okay. Mhm. Yeah. Okay. I'll read that as soon as we finish.
Great.
Thank you for that.
I don't want to miss it.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
And so you're going to read 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18 that was read, and you said that's talking about Timothy?
No, it says on that paragraph, Timothy's good report about the church. So when he was saying, dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you. We wanted very much to come to you. And I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. That's what
not Timothy.
Yeah, it just says, it's Paul talking, but Timothy was given the report to the church.
Oh, okay.
Paul was reading Timothy was reading one of Paul's letters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Understood. Okay, so what we have now. 1 Thessalonians 2:18 was read. All right, next paragraph. During the coming days of great tribulation, Satan will deceive the nations into receiving the Antichrist as their savior.
Mm-hmm.
Satan will give Antichrist his power, and the world will give allegiance to him. Revelation 13:2-4. At the conclusion of the tribulation, Satan and his demons will influence the armies of the nations to march to their doom at the War of Armageddon. So, Nadine, Revelation 13:2-4, and Evangelist 16-13. Please. Revelation
13:2-4. And the beast that I saw was similar to a leopard, and its feet were like bears, and its mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave it his power and his throne and great authority. And one of its heads appeared as though slaughtered to death, and its fatal wound had been healed. The whole earth was astonished and followed after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him?"
Boy, I tell you.
And then keep hold that thought. I'm going to read 5-8. It says, "The beast had a loud mouth, boastful and blasphemous. It could do anything it wanted for 42 months. It yelled blasphemies against God, blasphemed his church, especially those already dwelling with God in heaven. It was permitted to make war on God's holy people and conquer them. It held absolute sway over all tribes and peoples, tongues and races. Everyone on earth whose name was not written from the world's foundation in the slaughtered lamb's book of life will worship the beast." Are you listening to this?
Wow.
"They made their bed. Now they must lie in it. Anyone marked for prison goes straight to prison. Anyone pulling a sword goes down by the sword. Meanwhile, God's holy people passionately and faithfully stand their ground." Oh, goodness. The beast and the sea, the dragon. What do you think about that? And the way it looks. Like his head has been beaten in and he healed from that. But they still want to worship him. They still want to worship him.
Yeah. They go by his being powerful.
Ooh.
To them, he's because powerful. They think, and I guess
no one would dare war against the beast.
Right. That's what they think.
Mm-hmm. No one would dare war against the beast.
Because, you know, the thing is that, you know, these are those who did not accept Christ, right? They didn't want
what's
to
that?
Do. So these are those who did not accept Christ, who did not want to hear the truth, right? And
right.
so what happens is that they take on whatever power, whatever leader that comes their way. You know, it's the same thing, like all of those people who see Trump as their God. These people are going to see these are the same people that's going to see this horrible, horrific dragon as their God.
It's like anybody
you know,
but
this,
God.
This thing, like nothing can beat it. They will fight for it.
Yeah.
Right. They'll fight
anybody
for that.
But
they'll
God.
Defend it. They'll do everything they could, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-mm. Boy.
Okay, thank you. 13 through 16. Revelation.
Oh, Revelation 16. I was looking at the wrong one.
Okay.
Okay, 16 through 16 says, "And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouth of the dragon, the beast and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God, the Almighty." "Look," this is Jesus speaking, "look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. 16. "And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon.
Wow.
Ooh.
So, yes. What is Armageddon?
That's the end.
What is Armageddon?
War against, they are going to be going to war against each other.
Okay. Against each other, who's that?
Satan and his imps is going to go to war against Jesus and his followers.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it says the place where Armageddon is the place where the forces of evil are to assemble for one final onslaught against the forces of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. The Greek name, which means salvation. They think it's going to be on the mountain of Megiddo.
Megiddo.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Megiddo.
So, so this is a battle between good and evil.
Megiddo.
Yeah, southeast of the modern part of
evil, right.
Haifa. H-A-I-F-A.
Haifa, okay.
Haifa, yeah. Which guarded a large plain in northern Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It is a strategic location near a prominent international highway leading north from Egypt through Israel along the coast and onto Babylon, Megiddo, overlooked the entire plain southward towards Galilee and westward toward the mountain of Gibeah.
That's a lot of land.
Yes.
So yes. Armageddon is going to be fought on all of that. That's a lot of people.
Powerful, man.
Good against evil.
A lot of fighting.
A lot of fighting. A lot of killing.
Yeah.
A lot of killing. All right, thank you. During the millennial kingdom, Satan will be bound. But at the close of that period, he will be released and will attempt to lead the world in a final revolt against Christ's kingdom. After this unsuccessful attempt, they keep letting us know that whatever happens, Satan will not be the victor. Satan will be cast forever into the lake of fire, Revelation
20:7
through 10. So fear not. Amen.
Amen.
You want to get that last verse, Revelation 27 through 10?
Yeah.
Revelation 20.
I have it. And when the 1,000 years, yes, I have it. And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to assemble them for battle, whose number is like the sand of the sea. And they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the fortified camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from the heavens and consumed them.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets also are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay.
So, where
I mean, it don't look like it's going to be much fighting, okay?
That's after the fight. After, you know, they try to assemble and God's going to send down fire and rain on them, and the beast and the devil and the false prophet will be cast into hell. So what would it be like in hell? What is it going to be like in hell?
A lot of gashing of
burning pain,
burning sulfur, like that, you know, it's like
over
everything is going to be on fire
and torment.
And so are they going to be tormenting each other?
What's that?
Are they going to be tormenting each other?
When all that fire is up on them, I don't think they got time to torment one another. The fire will take care of that. And there'll be gnashing teeth.
That's what I think. I don't think they got time to even.
The G is silent.
Mm-hmm. So,
gnashing of teeth.
I don't think they have.
No, they'll have time because they're going to be there for an eternity.
I don't think they got time to torment each other.
No, that's what I said. They won't be bothering with one another.
They're
going
to be in too much pain to torment each other.
They'll be dealing with the fire. They will be dealing with the fire, not one another. For ages. Ooh. Amen. Wow. Forever. Mm-hmm. Into the lake of fire.
For lifetime.
More than that.
Mm-hmm.
Ages is more than a lifetime. Mm-hmm. How long are you supposed to live? Even if you live for 700 years, it's longer than that. It's for ages.
Mm.
So number four, in relation to unbelievers.
They're going
to
be eternally.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
we got that.
In relation to unbelievers,
Satan blinds their minds so that they will not accept the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Evangelists get that when I ask you for it. He often does this by making them think that any way to heaven is as acceptable as the only way. That's profound. That is profound. Evangelist, do you have it? 2 Corinthians 4:4.
2 Corinthians 4:4 says, hold on 1 second. Let me go out.
No problem.
Okay, here we go. 4:4.
Thank you.
Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God.
What do you think about that?
Well,
wow.
Four things. I feel bad for you, to tell you the truth. That is like, how could you not see the glory of God?
I think I would. That seems like, you know, I want to remember that scripture. I want to keep that scripture because that seems like a good scripture to give to share with an unbeliever.
Which one? In Revelation or 2 Corinthians?
To actually know that.
2 Corinthians?
No, 2 Corinthians 4:4.
Right.
Oh, okay.
The one you just read.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you didn't specify, so
to
I didn't
share
know.
This with an unbeliever. To share this with an unbeliever to give them some insight as to why they don't believe. Because it's the thing that's blinding them.
Blinding them. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they may not believe this, but I think it gives you, they may not even believe this, but I think it gives you thought. It's something that you would think about if you were an unbeliever, I think, that you would be like, what? I don't believe that. that Satan is blinding me, but it will bring some.
They might examine it after you give that scripture to them. And a lot of times people are slow in receiving things from the word.
Right.
Because they're like, you just talking from that book or whatever they say. Mm-hmm. You know, so they may be rejecting that too. But the fact that it says Satan blinds not their eyes, but their mind, so that they will not accept the gospel. So it's like anything that they're told about the gospel, their mind can't see that. They can't fathom what it is that's being told to them. So they don't accept it.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So he also does
with the things of the world. He blinds them with the things of the world, you know. Clothes,
their mind,
money.
Not even so much with the things of the world, but just they can't accept what the word says.
No.
You know, they don't believe it. And a lot of times they believe that there's more than one way to get to God. Oh, I can be a Buddhist, I can be a Hindu, I can be a Muslim. No, there's one way. And he often does this by making them
a good person. There's like, and I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about your goodness. He often does this by making them think that any way to heaven is as acceptable as the only way. Mm-hmm. Any way is not as acceptable as the only way. Again, blindness attacks the mind. And while unbelievers may think and reason, a power greater than Satan must remove that blindness. Human reasoning and convincing arguments have a ministry, but only the power of God can remove the satanic blindness. Sometimes the devil comes with words that people have heard in order to prevent their believing. Luke 8 and 12. Get that, please, Nadine? Luke 8 and 12. The world comes away. Devil.
And those beside. Oh.
In order to prevent them from believing. Yes. What are you saying?
Mm-hmm. And it says, and the scripture says, and those beside the path are the ones who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved.
All right. And this is talking about
he actually takes the word away.
This is talking about the story of the seed child. Some were planted on stormy ground or in the gravel, and it didn't sprout, and some were in weeds and various rock and all of that, and so it didn't sprout. But this is, I'll read mine, 11.
Right.
This story is about some of those people. The seed is the word of God. The seeds on the road are those who hear the word, but no sooner than they hear it, then the devil snatches it from them so they won't believe and be saved. All right? The seeds in the gravel are those who hear with enthusiasm. But the enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. It's only another fad. And the moment there's trouble, it's gone. And the seed that fell in the weeds, well, these are the ones who hear. But then the seed is crowded out and nothing comes of it as they go about their lives worrying about tomorrow, making money and having fun. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who sees the word and holds on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Amen, amen. Talking about the sower. Talking about the sower. So thank you. In promoting blindness, Satan uses counterfeit religion as detailed in the preceding section. This may include everything from asceticism. What's that again?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Abstinence from sex for religious.
But, yeah, but not just sex. Anything that's sensual and pleasure. Amen. It might be tobacco. It might be marijuana. It might be liquor. It might be, you know, sex. Okay, and you're saying that you're not going to partake in that, you know. So this may include everything from asceticism to license, from theism. From being a theist does not necessarily mean being saved, to occultism. In other words, Satan will use any aspect of the world system that he heads in order to keep people from thinking about or doing that which will bring them into the kingdom of God. Wow. He will use anything to keep people from thinking about or doing what will bring them into the kingdom of God.
Yes, he will.
Like I said, could be tobacco, could be sex, could be religion. So many things. Celibacy, all those kinds of things. All right, Colossians 1 and 13, if you would read that, and Nadine, 1 John 2, 15 through 17. 1 Colossians, Evangelist 1 and 13. Oh, this is chapter 8.
It is? Oh, okay.
Yes.
13 says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son." Amen.
Who's that about?
Jesus. God had transferred us from darkness into the kingdom of his son.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. And 1 John 2, 15 through 17, Nadine?
Okay. "Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because everything that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes and the arrogance of material possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and its desire, but the one who does the will of God remains forever."
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And if you would just bear with me for one second. I like the way that the King James Version says that. 1 John and...
Okay, go ahead.
1 John, 2nd chapter, 15 through 17 says, whoever... 1 John, 2nd chapter? 2nd chapter. Okay, sorry about that. 15 through 17, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the love, this is the part, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Amen. Wow. I didn't need to read 17. I'm just crazy about 16.
Love it.
Ladies, our evening has come to an end. I would ask someone to pray us out. Nadine with prayers out, please.
Dear God, our Father, our God, Lord God, you are our everything, Lord. You are our Lord, Lord God. You are our Savior, Lord God. And we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord God, because you deserve all the honor, all the praise. We just want to thank you for saving us, Lord God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, Lord God, to save us, Lord God, because through these lessons, Lord God, we understand, Lord God, how important it is, Lord God, to be obedient to you, Lord God, to love you, to be saved by you, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Lord God, because this world will come to an end. And we thank you, God, for loving the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son.
Hallelujah.
And all we have to do is believe, Lord God. Believe in him, Lord God. Lord God, we pray for all those who have not believed in you, Lord God. Lord God, we pray that anybody that's in our family, anybody that's close to us, Lord God, that they will have an opportunity. We will be able to give them an opportunity to know
Open
you, Lord God, through how we treat them and make them want to know what must I do to be saved, Lord God. Help them, Lord God. Open up their eyes, Lord God, because it's only through you, because Satan has blinded those who do not believe, Lord God, and only your power, Lord God, can open their eyes, Lord God. So, Lord God, we thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord God. We thank you for this lesson, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for Sister Barbara for presenting this lesson, Lord God, so clear, Lord God, and so concise, Lord God. We just thank you.
Thank you, Father.
I thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
I thank you, Father. Thank you for this lesson.
Thank you.
Lord God, bless her. Lord God, bless her. Lord God, bless her. In Jesus' name. And I just thank you for this union of her and the Lord God that we're able to map
thank
out the time, Lord God, that you give us the time, Lord God, that we can map out to become closer to you so that we can become children of yours, Lord God, so that we can be obedient and we can bring others to Christ, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mercy. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for that. On
praise God.
Love you all. Y'all just stay in the word. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love you too.
Love you. Love you. Have a beautiful week. Okay.
Amen. You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye.
Shalom.
Okay.
Shalom, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.